You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pitch. He swings and he hits it high, deep to center field. That's back. That's a goner. The first swing in the big leagues. How about that? Joshua Baez goes yard. All Pete Crow Armstrong could do was turn around and wave it goodbye to the bleachers.
So in his major league debut, Joshua Baez, that's John Rooney on the call for KMOX. Joshua Baez hits a home run on the first pitch he sees with a man on, and the Cardinals go up 3-0 on the Cubs over the weekend on Saturday. That's the top of the first inning. I mean, you know, a lot of people hit a home run in their first at-bat or their leadoff bat, you know, whatever. I mean, that's not that weird. It was a monster, though, 450 feet to center field, like crushed it, absolutely crushed it. He's been doing great in the minor leagues. Okay, so he comes up again in the third inning. He's nobody on base, and
3-2 delivery, changeup, and that's hammered down the left field line towards the corner. He did it again! Are you kidding me? A 3-2 pitch, and he hammers it into the bleachers in left field. Baez has homered twice here today, and the Cardinals take a 4-3 lead. Unbelievable. I can't wait for him to bat again.
I can't wait for him to bat again. Yeah. Oh, man, Ricky Horton, who's Ricky and John are the two guys who do play-by-play for the Cardinals on KMOX, which is their, you know, the 50,000-watt clear channel station. Anyway, so he had started off being 0-2 in that count. So he got all the way to 0-2, so zero balls and two strikes for you non-baseball people, on the verge of striking out, and he worked it all the way back to a full count, and then he hit the home run to left. So he went to center, he went to left. So you're wondering, well, what's going to happen when he comes up again? Well, just listen.
Pitch, a swing, and there's a drive, and that's hit well to right field. That's deep to right. That ball is gone. That ball is gone. Unbelievable. Three at-bats in the big leagues. Three home runs for Joshua Baez. A three-run lead for the Cardinals. He is homer to center, homer to left, homer to right. Oh, my goodness.
You can't make this up. You cannot make this up.
That's John Rooney again and Mike Claiborne in the background. I mean, ridiculous. It's literally never happened. You know, one of the things about baseball that I find so entertaining is that almost every game you see something that you don't think you've ever seen before. There's always weird stuff happening. But literally nobody's ever seen that. Nobody has ever hit three home runs in their rookie game, especially their first three at-bats. He did go 3-for-4, so he's human. But holy smokes. And, you know, just a kid having fun in the big leagues. Trust me, son, it won't be that good every day. So enjoy it while you got it. My only disappointment about this was that it happened at Wrigley instead of being, you know, at St. Louis so you could get the home crowd benefit. But that's just, I mean, that's insane. Meanwhile, in other news, other stuff that's going on, you know, we got alligators walking under 17th Avenue, the trestle, stopping traffic. I did go, I was on vacation last week and, you know, thank you to all the people who filled in for me, to Todd and to Walker and to, Jennifer. She works so close with Michelle Salzman, getting sometimes in my head. But you know, Colton Wright, who did a great job his first time, and, Josh Newby, my dear friend, and John Owens, who filled in for me on Friday and did what some people called a 4-hour wrap with no Andrew, which I like. I think they'd make a good daily show. And, you know, I think they'd be interested. So we'll see if we can make that happen. Because I just think, you know, having two guys who totally disagree about a lot of things, you know, hash out local issues, I find that entertaining. I like listening to that. Anyway, I was listening to them some while I was going to the Springs. And Friday, we were going to Silver Springs, which is gator infested, man. I had never seen a gator in the water that I was in. until Friday 11 times. So, in fact, a week ago, it's not a laughing matter, but a week ago, a woman got attacked by an alligator at this particular river, had to amputate her arm. Conflicting stories about exactly what happened, but apparently she was on a boogie board. And depending on which version you believe, either she got too close to it, doing what you're not supposed to do, which is, you know, get too close to the gator, or it came after them. Again, I don't know which version is right, but yeah, so, you know, gators are a real threat. But we saw 11 of them, little teeny ones, you know, 3-foot ones, big 10-foot ones. I mean, it's a wild place. It's a good place to go. You cannot snorkel. You cannot get in the water for your safety and for theirs. I wish I could have, because there was like 3-foot gars in that water and lots of turtles and just all kinds of crazy stuff. It was a wild place. Interesting comments while I was gone. Well, actually, I guess it was Saturday on a podcast by former ABC News anchor Terry Moran about bias at the network. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Before that, we've got PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks, Andrew. Things are looking really good out there. Highway 90 is clear from Milton into Pace. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. PJ, if you have any kind of complicated systems in your home, you got plumbing, you got heating, electrical, air conditioning, generators, which is obviously electrical, you want one installed, you want one maintained, whatever the case may be, Peden can take care of you for that. They do this all along the Gulf Coast. You know, it kind of started with air conditioning back in the day, but, you know, it's been expanding ever since, both in product line and in geography, from Panama City to Tallahassee to Pensacola to Baldwin County to Mobile. So they're all over the Gulf Coast, two time zones, two states, doing good quality work, helping, you know, 100% satisfaction guarantee on the work. So good people, good products, get it right the first time. And one of the things right now is, you know, they will be there for you, okay, whatever the time it takes. Licensed Peden Pro quality workmanship, skilled plumbers, your home works hard every day. You don't think about it, but your home does work. You know, showers and laundry, it's a constant demand, water pressure, all that stuff. You can prevent small plumbing problems from becoming big problems before they become big ones. Get ready for smooth running back to school mornings now that we're in the school year with a $59 Peden plumbing check today. Peden, the pros you can trust, PEADEN.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God is love. Those simple yet inspiring words were penned by John the Apostle. John had firsthand knowledge of the love of God. It is John who is recorded in Scripture as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It is John who wrote that we love God because he first loved us. It was John who wrote Jesus' words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then John is recorded as being a witness to this greater love in which Jesus willingly laid his life down on the cross to die a substitutionary death, which offers salvation to the world. There is no greater love than sacrificial love. God is love.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you. Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
I'm Dr. Isaac William, a candidate for Escambia County School Board District 3. District 3, tomorrow is election day. That means we are choosing our future. We know it's time for a change. It's time for integrity and accountability at our school board. Don't leave this decision to someone else. You need to make your voice count. Get out and let's finish strong. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, and I'll be honored to have your vote.
Paid for and approved by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia County School Board, District 3.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
On this reservation, I am the law. So I'll tell you this just once. Have your men drop their guns and you can leave quietly.
You're making a mistake.
I've made them before.
Good morning, 7:21 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to be back, and I missed y'all. Missed doing this. I love doing this so much. Let's see. In the newsroom, we've got David with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Accused killer Luigi Mangione's online legal defense fundraiser apparently still bringing in the cash even after his recent guilty plea to federal charges tied to the shooting of Brian Thompson. Mangione pleaded guilty last week to stalking charges. He still faces separate murder charges in the state of New York. A spokesperson for Give, Send, Go, which is handling that fundraiser, tells TMZ the money is covering Mangione's legal defense, and he does still have unresolved legal matters. President Trump honoring a lifeguard today that saved a young swimmer in California. 16-year-old Ryder Williams jumped into the water off of Santa Cruz, California last month when he saw a 10-year-old boy that was struggling in the water. The president posted on social media that he is bringing the heroic young man and his family to the White House to receive a high civilian honor. And boy, here's one that's a little bit terrifying. An AI agent running a San Francisco store has now fired a human employee. Andon Labs said on Thursday that Luna, the AI manager of Andon Market, which is an experimental retail store run entirely by AI, has decided to fire the human employee of the market after repeated lateness and other workplace issues. Logs show the employee arrived late for 17 of 23 shifts. I'm not sure which side to take on this one.
Yeah, it's crazy. Did you see the one about the farmer who used AI to apply an herbicide to kill off the weeds in his farm, but it also killed off the plants because he didn't fact check it to make sure 25 acres worth of crops got destroyed?
I did not hear about that.
Gosh. I don't.
If you,
you
make
know,
your living off the land, you wouldn't think you'd have to check with GPT on, on how to do
he,
that.
25 acres. He says he'd been did using AI also, safely for a while until that one day.
Did you it know? Also tell him to switch to Brondo for his watering?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you know, it's got electrolytes. It's got what plants crave. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. I think I might have just enough time to squeeze this in. Terry Moran, a former ABC News correspondent, and, you know, been doing news a long time. Pretty good news reporter. Talking about ABC on a podcast, the fifth column over the weekend. I don't know the names of the hosts, so I'm not going to bore you with trying to figure out who they are. But ask the question, is ABC News as a network liberal?
Is ABC News a liberal institution?
Yes, but I think like a lot of mainstream media, it's because of lack of viewpoint diversity. That was one of the problems in covering Trump. Nobody had voted for.
Oh, there's so much in just that little comment. Yes, viewpoint diversity is the important kind of diversity. You know, the left, one of the things they do is they think that race and gender and poverty level maybe are the key elements of viewpoint diversity, to which I say, well, it doesn't matter if they're all liberal or if they're all conservative or if they're all believers or if they're all atheists. You know, the issue is, what do you believe? That's much more important to diversity of perspective, is much more valid and interesting than those things. And part of the problem you have in news organizations, and it's not liberal bias, a lot of times, just like conservative bias, isn't necessarily a deliberate thing. It's just that, you know, you tend to hire people who think like you, and you tend to respect people who think like you. And, you know, if only people who have a certain bent tend to go into these fields in the first place, you don't have that many conservatives doing journalism out there to kind of pick from them as often. And so you wind up getting newsrooms. Like, remember the whole AP story where, you know, bias at the network, like the newsroom for in D.C. was just, it was all liberals. And that creates a bias. Just like, you know, not having religious people in newsrooms means they don't cover news stories about religion very well. And they can't relate to ordinary people because, you know, ordinary people go to church and they don't. And they think it's weird and they just don't think that way. Same thing with Trump. People who could never see themselves voting for Trump have a hard time covering him because they think, you know, you're all imbeciles. Now, I might disagree with Trump, but I did vote for him. I understand. You know, I'm kind of all over the place in terms of my ability to see these things, largely because I used to be on the other side of a lot of this stuff. But in a lot of these newsrooms, I mean, if nobody supported Trump, that's weird, at least in terms of understanding of you.
Because I sent out these, hey, we should be fair to Trump internal emails, I heard from people, engineers, maybe the occasional producer, who said, thank you. Yeah, attaboy.
He sent around emails basically saying, hey, I think we ought to try to be a little bit more fair to Trump. And he got fired for being harsh on Trump and Stephen Miller, by the way, in a tweet. But he was just saying out loud what they all already thought. And they couldn't have it be said out loud. But, yeah, he's saying that he would get thanks at least from some people, like the engineers, the staff, who are not necessarily as liberal as the on-air or the producers, right? We'll come back to this in a second because it's very interesting stuff. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 both looking good right now. Highway 29 is accident-free through Cantonment. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So that comment about how I got a thank you note back from the engineer, basically, and that's a story that doesn't get talked about a lot in terms of bias at the networks.
The rated story in all television networks is that the people who are not on-air talent and who are not producers have different politics than the
I've told the journalistic staff. Story a number of times in the show of when I was out shooting something for the HBO show, and when my producer went to a bar doing a story on Trump's trade war. He went to a bar that I think it was in an aluminum smelter, and all the people from the aluminum smelter went to the same bar. And he walked out and said to me, he said, man, that's like a far more diverse bar than anything I go to in Brooklyn. And I was like, yeah, there's like Hispanic people, black people, white people, all working class people in this small town. I think it was in Missouri, in like southeastern Missouri. And it's like, they're not talking about race. They're not talking about whiteness. They're just drinking Miller High Lifes and having a good time. And I was like, that was revelatory to like a 45-year-old man. And I was like, this is kind of a problem.
Bubble.
That the bubble is very real.
And again, the bubble is not necessarily an evil thing. It's not necessarily a deliberate thing. It's just, if you don't know, you don't know. And if you don't deliberately go out of your way to learn and to be exposed and to have things come from outside of your zone of experience, it's so sad to think that this middle-aged man, knowledgeable about the world, a producer for National News Network, goes to a small or even an ordinary-sized town in middle America and is befuddled to find people who aren't talking about race as if it's the most important thing, or privilege, or whitening, you know, because you get sucked into that click. This, by the way, this happens for Christians, this happens for conservatives, this happens for all kinds of people, and you just kind of have to always watch that you're not getting trapped in it. But for somebody to have it be puncturing of their bubble to discover that not everybody thinks like the bar attendees in Brooklyn, you know, like, duh, bro, get out.
But do you see yourself as part of that, as part of that bubble?
I certainly worked in it for a long time, but I would say that the track record, one of the things that was striking to me was how many people who voted for Trump were very angry at me because I betrayed what they thought I had been, which was, if I covered it, I covered it straight. To cover Trump too straight, you have to talk about the threat that it represents to the way we've governed ourselves all these years.
Listen, one of the big mistakes people think is, like, in order to be objective, you have to pretend that both sides are the same. Well, no. In order to be objective, you have to tell as much of the whole truth as you possibly can, giving an appropriate treatment of both sides. But if you pretend both sides are equal or that all concerns are equal, that's a lie, too. you know, there can be 5% of the truth on one side, 95% of the truth on the other side. If you treat those like they're equal, you're lying about the truth. You say, well, that's your opinion. Yeah, an informed opinion is part of what makes good journalism. And being open and honest about your biases and your blind spots and, you know, even if you have bigotries, to be open and honest about them. I mean, you come to this show and if you listen to me for any period of time, you know I have lots of views. You don't have to agree with my views, but you also know that I will do my very best to tell you both sides and analyze it fairly and to be as, you know, generous in interpreting people I disagree with as possible. That doesn't mean that I say they're all equal or, you know, don't take a position. What would be the point of treating them all like they're same and not having a view? I mean, that'd be kind of inadequate. So, yeah, and, you know, and he says that people were angry at him because he was very critical of Trump. You have to be critical of Trump to be fair to Trump. I mean, you have to ignore things to not be critical of him, just like you have to ignore things to not be favorable towards him. You know, that's part of the problem. It can't be that there's nothing virtuous about the guy, and it can't be that there's nothing terrible about the guy. And I thought he had a really good observation that in the first Trump administration, the media focused primarily on trivia and the show, you know, and they didn't really focus on policy. And in the second administration, they're still not focused on policy, which is a big problem for sure.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Deadline today in the war with Iran. Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv spoke earlier to President Trump about it.
He said there is no timeline. And so this 60-day window that is expiring today is largely irrelevant in terms of the president's thinking as it relates to Iran. And again, he indicated the United States has a lot of mid-level weapons to use if they're needed in the future. But he calls on the Iranians to raise the white flag of surrender.
The president also telling Trey there's a back channel to talk to the hardline military leaders of Iran. She was known for a number of roles, including musical drama Nashville on ABC. Singer and actress Hayden Panettiere dies at the age of 36. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got sunny skies. It's 80 degrees here across the area. We'll check in with Channel 3 and get a look at our forecast in just a couple of minutes. Well, the 8th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon raised $300,000 this year. That'll fund a brand new pediatric sedation suite at the Studer Family Children's Hospital. That's a first for Northwest Florida. The space will benefit more than 1,000 children a year, supporting procedures like imaging, lumbar punctures, and bone marrow biopsies. Honto and Clark was one of the presenting sponsors, the presenting sponsor for 3 years running. And company representative Stephen Clark tells News Radio that the cause is personal.
I've had two children that have been in the NICU. I've had my wife's been through multiple procedures here, and the culture is phenomenal. We need to help them with whatever they need equipment-wise, and so that's what we're here to do.
And Clark spoke with the Cat Country Radiothon team on Friday about why his company keeps coming back to support that cause. Early voting is wrapped up across Northwest Florida. Tuesday's primary election. Polls will open at 7 a.m. and be open till 7 p.m. Voters will weigh in on several state and local races, along with the big decision in Escambia County whether the school superintendent remains an appointed position or becomes an elected one. A 36-year-old man is facing charges after allegedly robbing three Plasma Center employees of their jewelry during a lunch break earlier this month. Deputies say Juan Colon, who was armed and masked, approached those women outside of the CSL Plasma location on Davis Highway, snatching necklaces, rings, and bracelets worth thousands of dollars combined. Investigators tracked his vehicle using surveillance footage to a nearby vehicle dealership where Colon worked. They found the gun, mask, and stolen jewelry hidden in a bag inside the building. He's now being held without bond. The Santa Rosa Island Authority weighing some new short-term rental policies aimed at addressing resident complaints over trash, noise, and parking on Pensacola Beach. The new proposal would create a registry of rental properties and require owners to register with the state and designate a responsible party that's reachable around the clock. Some rental owners support the idea. Others argue property owners just need to set clear expectations with renters themselves. the Escambia commissioners will be discussing the proposal this week. Governor Ron DeSantis stirring up a bit of debate over the weekend about pizza. He was asked on social media about the best pizza style. The governor named New Haven, saying that New York has the best pizza outside of New England, Chicago the best outside of the Northeast, and called Philadelphia's pizza underrated. The comments sparked a lot of reaction online, including one person championing Ohio's pizza scene, and some people even voting for the pizza in Alaska. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got, again, 80 degrees with sunshine. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives this morning.
Travis brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Highway 29 southbound, running heavy from Roberts Road to I-10. Also, Highway 90 seeing some congestion from Dogwood Drive to Avalon. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be having a hot day today with temperatures near 95 degrees for your high. Heat advisory in place with temperatures feeling more like 110. 20% chance of a stray shower overnight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Tuesday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 96 degrees, feeling much hotter. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Keeping the heat around on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 95. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
80 degrees and sunshine. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Alibaba launched a new Qwen AI model designed to run on laptops and other consumer hardware. It also released the weights for its most powerful model, Qwen 3.8 Max. CNBC reports that the move sharpens Alibaba's competition with Meta in the open-weight AI market. Kipler Data says that shipping through the Strait of Hormuz slowed over the weekend following attacks on tankers. Five commodity vessels transited the strait on Saturday, with none registered for Sunday. This compares to 31 ships in the prior weekend. Nestle said it is seeking to turn the rise of GLP-1 weight loss drugs from a threat into a business opportunity, working to develop products aimed at millions of consumers taking medicines such as Ozempic and Wegovy. Chief Technology Officer Stefan Palzer told Reuters that Nestle is using AI and other technology to analyze clinical research, identify nutrient combinations, and develop products tailored to GLP-1 users. Futures are mixed. Dow futures down by more than 100 points. That's Your Money Now.
My name is Trey McMullen, and I'm running to be your state representative, not Tallahassee's. District 2 isn't just another district. It's an engine. Families, veterans, first responders, teachers, and small businesses are the fuel that keeps it running. But every engine needs a spark plug. That's the role I intend to play. Not powered by PAC money, not directed by special interest. Powered by the people of District 2. My mission isn't just to pass laws. It's to connect veterans with resources, connect employers with workers, connect families with opportunity, and to ensure your voice, not a lobbyist, is heard in Tallahassee. On day one, I'll hit the ground running to deliver real, measurable results. Because District 2 deserves a representative that works for the people, not the PACs. Vote McMullen this Republican primary.
Paid for and approved by Trey McMullen Campaign for Florida House, District 2, Republican.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
Just because it's the end of the summer and the kids are back in school doesn't mean there's not a lot going on in Pensacola. And find out how you can have fun with your family as we head towards fall.
Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
There are two steps to voting.
One,
Go to your polling place and vote.
Two.
Listen to the results on News Radio 92.3. After you visit the voting booth, tune into News Radio 92.3 beginning at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. And there'll be a complete wrap-up the next morning on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. So, to sum up, step one, vote. Step two, listen to the results on News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Local. Dependable. Dependable.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it
you
does make not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch just one time and last for a lifetime.
Our constitutional rights are not guaranteed, are not granted by government. They are protected from government. I think I heard... Stan say that today.
Correct.
That's why I have concerns about flock camera systems. So I understand the argument in favor of them. We all want safe communities. We all want law enforcement to catch dangerous criminals, recover stolen vehicles, and solve serious crimes. Public safety is one of the most important. I think it's the most important responsibility of government.
So Steve Stroberger, County Commissioner for District 2 at the Escambia County Commission meeting just the Thursday before I went on vacation, so we're digging back about 9-10 days now, had a very interesting, he wrote an opinion piece for the PNJ and they did not publish it. Third one he's written for them, he says, and they have not published any of them. I don't know why they wouldn't. It seems weird to me, but okay. I think you'd want the content. But anyway, he read it in the meeting, and he was talking about flock cameras, which had been brought up earlier by several of the speakers, and we talked about that, the 635 segment as well. But, yeah, he's absolutely right. The Constitution is not there to protect the government from you, but to protect you from the government. The government does not give you these rights. The government recognizes and protects these rights that are given to us by God. And then there are some procedural rights as well, you know, but those are also meant to respect certain things to protect us against government. And his argument is the flock cameras do certainly provide a public safety benefit. They solve crimes, but they create a problem, and that problem is one that we ought to take more seriously. Now, I have historically been in favor of the flock cameras, or at least not said much against them, and partially because the arguments that get made by the opponents are so bad. I mean, the socialists get up there, and some of the others get up there, and they make really bad arguments, terrible arguments. And I went into some of the detail on those in the first hour at 6:40 if you want to go back and listen to the podcast at newsradio923.com. And because of that, they made me think that they were wrong. Because when I hear people make bad arguments, I assume they'd make good arguments if there were good arguments. The fact that they're making bad arguments means there's no good arguments for their side. It's a bad assumption. It's not a good one. You should not assume that. People can say dumb things and still be right. I'm beginning to be converted a little bit to the other side on this one. I've always had questions about it, but I just haven't been very loud about them. But honestly, listening to Stroberger and also some of the other stuff and thinking about this a little bit more, I'm more on the fence now. Okay, I'm going to talk about this with Bob Johnson next hour and also Chip Simmons tomorrow. But okay, they do protect us, but at what cost, right? That's the question. They clearly solve crimes. They clearly solve, you know, they solve kidnappings, they solve car thefts, they solve all kinds of crimes, and they are helpful for catching criminals. There's no doubt about that. The question is whether the trade-off's worth it, right? And, you know, there's clearly a benefit, which is why your law enforcement officers support them. The question is, are you willing to endure more crime in order to have sort of more freedom? That's the question. And then what's the down the road? Like, what's coming if we allow this? You know, if we're okay with this, what's next? Because the where are we with regard to flock cameras is not so bad. it's the what is this preparing us for, right? And Flock, by the way, has come out with a bunch of revisions or fixes or improvements in the last couple of days, basically saying that they're going to now require to be done what we locally have been doing anyway. The question is whether that's enough, but I'll get back to that in a second. Steve Strohberger continues his presentation.
But our founders understood something equally important. A government powerful enough to monitor everyone is powerful enough to abuse everyone.
And that's a concern. Agreed.
The Fourth Amendment was written because our nation's founders had experienced general warrants and broad government surveillance under the British Crown. They intentionally placed limits on government power because liberty requires those limits.
Yeah, the general warrants, it's funny when you read the Fourth Amendment, it sounds like it's almost a weird thing on its own. You have to understand the reaction, what it's reacting to. And the reaction was to these general warrants, which didn't specify the place or the circumstance or even sometimes the details, whereas the warrants have to have all that information and probable cause and justification for them. The general warrants are basically like, go do what you want, largely. And the Fourth Amendment was a response to that abuse by the British Crown. And so understanding that sort of puts a little more in context. These are not searches under the Fourth Amendment definition of a search, which is of your private property or your person, because in public, your license is not, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. So the people who say this is an unwarranted search are just don't understand the law. Okay, they're saying a dumb thing. But that doesn't mean that it's not a problematic surveillance of the sort that the founders, had they known this could exist, might not have opposed. And that's where the bad argument by the other side can mislead you into thinking that there's not a good argument against them. And the good argument, or the one you should take seriously, is do we want the government with the power to collect information on so many people on such a broad scale that can then later be queried? Is that kind of gathering of information dangerous in and of itself? And we'll come back to that, because that's a really interesting question. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by White Sands Electric, keeping your Cummins or generators in top shape for the hurricane season. White Sands Electric, your full-service electrical contractor. Highway 29 southbound, running heavy from Roberts Road to I-10. Highway 90, seeing some congestion from Dogwood Drive to Avalon. We also have one accident on the board, a vehicle crash and injuries, Fairfield Drive and Mobile Highway. There's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Steve Strohberger. Again, talking about Flock cameras, talking about license plate readers that gather. And by the way, I drive past one on Burgess Road every day, a couple times at least. So I know my information is being grabbed. And there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in public. But that does not mean that mass gathering of public information doesn't carry a danger, doesn't carry a risk. One of the arguments, for example, that's been made in defense of Flock cameras is that a police officer can be standing on a corner gathering the exact same information. Yes, they can. That's exactly right. They certainly can. Or they can be staked out somewhere with binoculars, taking photos. They certainly can do what the Flock license plate reader is doing. But would you want police officers doing that in a massive way like this? Could you have police officers on every corner? You could. Would it be good to have police officers on every corner? If we could afford it, if it were cheap? Because that's what this does. It allows leverage through technology to have cheap, basically, law enforcement officers doing something that no human being can do that effectively. Gather more information much more quickly in a lot of places. But would it be good to be able to do that? Same thing with the argument about cameras. You're on camera all the time. You're on, Ring doorbell. You're on people's videos from their phones. You're on their dash cameras. Okay, that's true. Is that good? Is that good if the government can do that? Is that the kind of thing that we maybe should be concerned about? The harvesting of that much information about anybody, where you can track people, where you can perhaps discover where people have been, or in a further iteration, say where they are at any given moment? Is that healthy? Yes, you have your GPS on your phone turned on. People can find you. It's one thing privately, but also even at all, is it good for government to have access to that?
Do we allow convenience to slowly erode liberty? I believe we should be extremely cautious whenever government expands its ability to collect information on law-abiding citizens.
Because how can it, we always think in this country about how could it be abused? Is it being abused right now? No. Even though there are examples of abuses, that's not the same as the system itself being an abusive system. Just like bad cops don't mean all cops are bad, or bad gun use doesn't make all guns bad. You know, same problem. They're cherry-picking examples and featuring that like it's the problem. That's not the issue. The issue is, what could it be used for? How could it be turned? How could it be enhanced in the future? Even if the thing itself is okay right now, are we preparing the way for something else that's much more concerning? And is the thing itself right now a problem?
Some will say, if you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. But that has never been the standard in America. The American standard is that government should have a reason before it intrudes on your privacy, not that citizens must prove they deserve privacy.
And a lot of times privacy, even in public, is the moving around, right of motion, right of association, right of being left alone by the government. Now, I have never much liked the argument, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. But I'll give you a rephrase to help you see why this is a problem. As long as you do what the government wants, you have nothing to worry about. Same concept, right? If you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. Well, if you're not doing anything the government dislikes, you have nothing to worry about. But our whole Constitution is built on defense against totalitarianism, defense against abuse, authoritarianism, against monarchy, against despotism. Like, our whole constitutional system is built on keep government small, contained, hamstrung, handcuffed, slow, inefficient, frustrating, the House, the Senate, the, you know, the president, veto power, the courts. Like, it's all meant to be small, limited, inefficient government. This is fast, efficient. We catch a lot of criminals. What does it pave the way for? I'm not worried about our current government in Escambia County or Santa Rosa County. I have to always be thinking, though, what if that government changes? What if D.C. changes? What if Tallahassee changes? How could things get misused by the wrong people, right? Don't give good people the power that bad people can then misuse. That's the issue. So the, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. Well, as long as you're doing what the government likes, you have nothing to worry about. When you say it that way, it sounds very different, quite sinister, right? And that's a better rephrase.
Whether we're talking about your home, your land, your vehicle, or your personal privacy, the principle is the same. The Constitution is not a buffet where we pick the rights we like and ignore the rest. Every amendment matters. Every constitutional protection matters. Every citizen deserves protection under the Constitution.
And here's where I think I disagree with Steve. I do not think that they're unconstitutional by the letter of the law. I do think, or at least I'm concerned, that they violate the spirit of what the Constitution was trying to protect. That's where I'm at.
I believe elected officials should always begin with the simple question. Does this expand government power? And if it does, is that expansion truly necessary? Is it narrowly limited? Is it transparent? Is it consistent with the Constitution? Those questions are not obstacles to good government. They are foundational to good government.
And I know, you know, I'm sure all my cop friends, or many of my cop friends, it might be agreeing with me, but I'm sure some of them are saying, we're going to catch fewer criminals and crimes are going to go unsolved. I understand. I agree. And it's hard to look the mom whose kid is missing in the eye and say, we just can't use this technology that we used to have because it's too much of a risk for people's freedom. That's hard. But we say that now. They weren't properly Mirandized. We had to have probable cause for the search. Therefore, it got excluded from the trial. We couldn't convict them. I mean, you know, we have all kinds of limits in place for law enforcement right now out of a concern for these exact issues. Again, not because it's unconstitutional, but because the concept of accepting more crime and more unsolved crime in the interest of defending against tyranny, we take that deal.
I will continue to evaluate every issue through the same lens. Is it constitutional? Because if we're willing to compromise one constitutional right today, we make it easier to compromise another one tomorrow. I believe in the whole Constitution, not just the parts that are politically convenient. I believe in all of them. That's what I wrote.
And I would say, in addition, and the underlying ideas behind them, let alone or in addition to just the particular specifics that they protect and prohibit?
I'm going to have a heart-to-heart with the sheriff about this. And I don't believe he is doing anything nefarious. The sheriff is a great sheriff. We introduce him at the Republican Executive Committee meetings as the greatest sheriff in America. He's awesome. And he wants to protect us, and that's why he wants to make sure he can catch bad guys. So that's why he's for that. But me and him are going to have to talk. He's probably going to have to talk with the rest of us, too. But that's how I stand on flock cameras. Thank you.
I would have read that if it was in P&J.
That's Ashley Hoffberger, the chair, saying, you know, which I think we'd all think. I thought it was a very interesting set of comments. And as you can tell from me talking about it, I don't know that exactly what he said has changed my point of view, but it got me thinking about some things that's changed my point of view a little bit on this. And, you know, think if the sheriff had come out and said, we don't need it, or if the sheriff had come out and said, you know, it is useful, but I do not trust it, I would have deferred to that. You know, like, and the fact that I could go either way on it means, you know, how certain am I about this? How sure am I about this? So this is also a really good lesson that even when people who advocate for something do it badly, poorly, like has been done by the flock critics, it doesn't mean the position is wrong. And you always have to be checking to make sure that you're assessing the strength of the view itself, not even of the presentation people make for it. Much like with Trump, you know, Trump might say an outlandish thing and he might be actually doing something that's good. The fact that he says an outrageous thing doesn't make the thing bad. Kind of a useful skill to keep in mind. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Fairfield Drive and Mobile Highway. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
I'm Erin Neiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Neiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Neiswanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Neiswanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
At FPL, we plan for storm season all year long. We're strengthening poles to better withstand severe weather. We're clearing lines to improve resiliency, and we're constantly training teams to act at a moment's notice. Because we're always working, always preparing. So when storms do hit, you can count on us. Learn more at fpl.com/storm. FPL, working for you every single day.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for an approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual-active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Affordability and housing. Neighborhood revitalization. And education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice. Colonel Eric W. Shorter for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter. Candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
Someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Oh my God, I'm totally bugging.
I got a text in. Somebody says, hey, good morning. Great show. Good segment. Welcome to the Flock Fighters. I would say I'm more in the flock concerned citizens at this point, but, you know, okay, fine, whatever. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The memorandum of understanding that was supposed to find a way to end the U.S.-Iran war apparently officially expires today. Not a whole lot of evidence that either side is all that interested in extending the agreement or that it's had much of an effect at all.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. And by the way, I mean, I was raised on Harrison Bergeron and, you know, 1984 and Animal Farm and Brave New World and Watership Down. So I have, and Enemy of the State, I have a very, very, very healthy suspicion towards all things government observation in general.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.